putting together what you requested me to put together, which was 10 cents on supplemental and 10 cents on rural services. 1% operating decrease. Put the numbers from the comp board recommendation in. So those are in there. And as you can see from the very first page, that's what it looks like by doing that. Okay? That is a salaries budget, is it 95%?
It is already.
Yeah, which is what we've done for years and years and years, and then we just make it whole. It's not a restriction or anything, it just makes it whole. We make it whole when we close to the actual. So that is what that looks like. I did take it upon myself to go ahead and put some other options together, which is the second page is a transfer of $600,000 from the general to the supplemental, raise the supplemental by only 3 cents as opposed to 10 cents. And that's what that looks like, with ending fund balance in the general fund is still 31%, which is sufficient. 24 in the supplemental, which is way better. Mental health is not something that I'm looking at the fund balance on all that closely, because it is what it is. We're going to pay them what we need to pay them. The rural fund is still at 13%. I put another option together. Same scenario of transferring $600 from the general to the supplemental, which only raises that levy by 3 cents. Raise the levy in the rural fund by only 3 cents. Budget 95% of salaries again, except to elected officials and appointed deputies. Lower the transfer to secondary roads from the rural by $50,000. Move the pole building out of for IRVM to capital projects, as opposed to coming out of the rural fund. Lower the regional payment of MHDS to 1.5. We're going to pay what we're going to pay. We're going to amend that budget at the end of next year for it, no matter what we pay. But if we put it in at 1.5, it's still standard sufficient. And that's what that one looks like for all of the different funds, expenses, where we're at. So that levy of $8.267 is actually only about 3 cents higher than the current year overall.
All right. Well,
a lot of numbers and it's a lot of moving parts and it's a lot of different options. And I'm happy to. I mean, the 1% operating doesn't do us hardly any good. The majority of the operating funds are in the general fund. The majority of the general fund expenses that aren't salaries are asset dollars, the big dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So 1% operating in the general fund does us very little good.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned.
It's just the difference between being balanced and not being balanced.
Correct.
But if the goal is to be balanced, then we have to, the only way we're going to be able to do that is look at the actual CIP. Is that correct?
No, the first page gets you balanced.
Boy, I don't know. Maybe I'm not looking right.
So 42,000, 42,056,986.
And the 42,040.
Yep.
Okay.
So, Loris,
yes.
The first page is $16,000 to the good. Balance.
To the good, right. Okay.
Second page is $376,000 upside down.
Right.
And the third page is $297,000 upside down.
Thank
you. Now, let's start with this. There's a reason that Story County is the only county who's done this each of the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. It's hard, and you're not always going to be balanced. So the question for the three of us is, how painful are you willing to go to make it balanced? The first one is painful for a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
But it's balanced. The others are not quite as painful, but they're also not balanced. And it makes it harder on us to respond to unforeseen circumstances. And
correct.
So we just need to make the decision and then move forward.
Well, I came into this year wanting a balanced budget. Right, it is very painful to look at, but I think it is one of the techniques that has been brought in the last year, six or eight, whatever, all right, that while you can debate the meanings and terms, I gave up on that. Okay, what I want is flexibility. I personally, as one supervisor, want to know that there are, that we are able to manage it. And so I'd like to really look at this first page. But we are increasing the levy. We're not doing it by just skillful moving of funds. We're actually having to deliver to the taxpayers a 10-cent increase to 20 cents for the people in the rural area.
Yeah, that's technically cool.
I understand that. It's a 10 or 20 in the unincorporated areas. Okay. Sorry, I'll speak a little louder. So that also is in itself painful, very painful. And that's all I'll say for now, and I'll open it up for other comments here. Hello, Jessica.
Hi, so I'm here, Jessica Reynolds, Story County Attorney. The reason I'm here is at the comp board, Supervisor Olson mentioned for the first time that I heard that there was going to be consideration of slashing all of our budgets by 1-2%.
That was what had been roughly discussed. Yeah, the operating budgets by the 1%.
Okay, so that's the first time I'd heard that. It's very concerning to me.
Okay.
And so we're here on behalf of my office to discuss that. I thought I'd gone through my budget session, that we had moved money around and discussed my expenses. I don't have extra expenses, and I'm highly concerned about a slash to my budget. I think public safety will suffer. We have a lot of high-profile violent crimes that are pending, and I have major concerns about that. I also have major concerns about that. Not, you know, if I hadn't been at the comp board, I would have never even heard of that proposal. So
it was discussed at the last one of our kind of budget sessions when Mrs. Markley brought us back new numbers. It was briefly mentioned, but we were still waiting to see with the levies put in, and she's very good bringing options too for us. So in being at the comp board, I just said this is where we are at this particular point in time. Nothing has been done in stone with that, but that was kind of a suggestion of Supervisor Sanders. Go ahead and say, well, one way I think we could might be able to get to the balanced numbers. So that was, you know, and I hope I made it very clear it was under consideration as in looking at it, as opposed to that's the option we're going, the way we're going.
Yeah, I'm just here to say that I don't know where those dollars are coming from my budget, and that we're objecting to that.
Okay. So I appreciate that. Thank you. I suspect you're probably not the only department that is you know, objecting, or if they're hearing this come out, if they listen to the comp board tape. So I'm going to turn it over to Supervisor Sanders as far as where you came up with the 1%. I understood it was just you running some numbers.
Yeah, it was just to get us balanced. And let's just be clear on what the 1% is. It's 1% of proposed general fund operations, which is countywide in a $42 million budget, is $51,000. And so, you know, we're so fortunate that we have elected officials that really, really run tight budgets. And it's hard for me to extrapolate exactly what it would mean to the county attorney or the recorder, but you're probably talking about $2,000 to $3,000 for each of those two offices, all said and done.
More for that one, less for that one, because of the dollars involved.
And is it painful? Absolutely. But the question, so it's our responsibility, Linda, Loris, and Rick, to figure out how we're going to budget, and then it becomes everybody else's responsibility to figure out how to operate within that budget. And so all I'm saying is I proposed that we consider the 1%, because if the goal is to get balanced, you get balanced by raising revenues, which we've done here, and by cutting expenses. Either or both, and we talked about both, and that's the only way we get to balance this year.
And how long, Rick, because I remember hearing you say this, Story County budget has been balanced
last 6 years.
For the last 6 years.
And we're the only county in Iowa who's done it every year for the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. Nobody, we, there's one other county, sir, who's the
what
county that did it 5 years?
Lyon?
No, it wasn't Lyon.
No, it was the, began with an O.
Okay. Yeah, Osceola. Yeah, but they didn't do it last year. They did it the 5 years pre.
So we do have 6 years running, a balanced budget, and a lot's been made of that in terms of talking about how good Story County government is and doing.
Yeah, but it's bigger. Yes, but it's bigger than that. It is a lot of the positive things, or that I view positive things, that Story County has been able to do. Where we haven't not given raises to employees. We've been able to put in things like pay scale and merit raises. And I mean, we've been able to do some really, really good things. And the reason we've been able to do those, it wasn't that supervisors before us didn't want to do them. It was that they didn't have the flexibility financially to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And so by making the hard decisions up front, you give yourself flexibility on the back end to actually be able to make the decision you make. And this rests with the three of us.
Mm-hmm. And another thing. Well, kind of three.
No, that's the question. What percentage of your budget is salary, is personnel costs?
A high percentage.
You're in the 90% range of actual, if I'm not mistaken.
90% personnel costs?
Yeah.
Okay. And the 1% that we were using as a figure to try to get this balanced was not just your office. It was all county operations general fund. So that's going to hit other places, you know, other departments harder than yours because you're 90% personnel already.
So what dollar figure would you be looking at? Right? I mean, this was at 1-2% of operating costs.
I'm concerned that that's a lot of work for Lisa to do and calculating to get $51,000. I'm just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. When a lot of her other options seem to get us more.
What were there some other options here that I wasn't seeing that you were thinking of proposing? But first of all, I'm answering that question.
Just a minute. I'm still working on how much we have for.
So left. So can I come back?
$60,000
for the countywide, correct? Or just. Not her. Oh, just her office.
That's not the cost. That's the total budget.
Total budget.
So 1% of 50,000. Yeah.
So when I give you that $51,000, 1% of operating.
Yeah.
I'm taking all of the. All of the actual. Cost. Communications, postage, mailing, mileage expense, office supplies, throughout any way paid in the general fund, and I have the budget in the general fund. I have asset dollars on there. Asset dollars, cutting those 1% is not just a cut of 1% for you guys. That's a major situation.
So 50,000 is your operating budget.
Okay. I'm totally confused because the comments that you made at the comp where you're going to ask the elected officials to slash your budget by 1-2%.
And it was the operating part.
I was thinking potentially 30,000.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that. So, but basically, we have 5.1 million countywide that fits under the operating. So I just went ahead and if it's 51,000 at 1%, it's 510,000 at 10%, and it's 5.1 million at 100%. So it's 51,000 for all the county departments to divide
that are paid out of the general fund.
That are paid out of the general fund.
If you'd be asking me to slash what?
$500.
Yeah. Okay.
Much different than
yeah.
My, and I think right. This is something I just like to say again. I mean, if in the future as Board Tree to just reach out to me instead of just making those public. That's the first I've heard, and I would appreciate that communication because I had no idea what was going on.
I appreciate that. And on the other side of the coin, I'd just like to know, would you like to hear something that hasn't been voted on by the whole board?
Well, if you're looking at Slash, if you're going to make public comments about Slash and Budget 1-2%, I haven't heard that. I don't know what that means, and I'm thinking that means $30,000 to $60,000.
Okay. All right. Communication is always good. You can always be improved.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I think we're done.
Okay. Thank you.
Leanne, you should come to the table.
Yeah, there's a place for you.
No,
Stacy.
No, I appreciate
the
right.
So I'd like to address the comment about $51,000 is a lot of work for Lisa, made by Auditor Martin. We all have different values here, and I think Supervisor Sanders is right, as the three of us will end up being the three who will make the decision. And it's just not a value to find the $51,000 for a balanced budget if we're also increasing taxes. And so the message I don't want to send, and also I don't think I want to do to the public, is to both raise their taxes and then tell them that we can't seem to budget to break even. I don't think that's what is expected from most of the taxpayers. And to come back later and say, well, we did it because it was going to be a lot of work for $51,000. And by the way, but we're taking from all of you people in the unincorporated area an extra 20 cents per thousand. I don't like that message. So what can we do to help?
No, I'm just saying that she gave us a lot of different options. She gave you a lot of different options today. I would hope that you would consider something to get you more dollars for your bang. I mean, I'm not saying don't take it off the table. I'm just saying if you're prioritizing options, understand, you know, I think moving money from the general fund to the supplemental fund is a lot easier to do than to go through and calculate a 1% operating. I'm not saying don't do it.
And I got on the bandwagon the other day about what a 1% operating across the board would be. Personally, I don't like across the board cuts. If there's no other better way to do it, there's nothing that's more strategic, I would say yes across the boards. But I think we can be more strategic, and that's not saying I don't appreciate you doing that in work, but I'm wondering if you have any other thoughts or recommendations that might be more, you know, get us.
Well,
you know, where's the give?
A couple comments about the fact that, you know, we can budget we can budget to take one project out of the general fund.
Yeah.
That isn't. We can take a project out of the general fund for next year. A big project. We got a lot of big projects in there.
Yes.
It's a lot easier and cleaner to say we took that out and that balances. I'm also going to say that you have fund balances, and that's why you have fund balances, and that's why you have, you know, this first one you're looking at a 34% ending fund balance in the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So raising taxes by 20 cents. Technically 16 cents if you want to, you know, do the exact math. But having a 34% ending fund balance may be hard for you to be able to say, well, this is what's best.
I agree.
So what my point is in giving you other options is to say sometimes not only you have to raise, you also have to make some cuts or make some adjustments or some changes. And quite frankly, if you go forward and say we approved three new positions and three new positions are funded in here, but yet we're going to cut everybody 1%, how does that make people feel?
I think that's good. Mm-hmm. And actually, we could be at four, correct?
We
I had a question.
I only got three.
This morning we approved a new position, communication, in the Sheriff's Department.
Which is...
Mm-hmm. And some of the justification of the need for that position was $49,000 in overtime. When I look at our 20 budget, I'm not sure that the overtime savings, that we've taken out any overtime savings because we're going to have that position in.
Agreed.
And I think that's something, that's a five-figure item right there probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should look at that. I don't know what the right number is. I know, Alyssa, you did work with the Sheriff's mm-hmm. Department, or Sheriff's Office, excuse mm-hmm. me, in putting that together. Do you have any thoughts, given the numbers that you looked at?
Typically not 100% wash. I mean, they did the last time. It was pretty close to removing all the overtime. Out of the $49,000,
mm-hmm.
Typically I'd say 70% of it will probably go away. It's just, I don't know how much it should eliminate a lot of the overtime because they do have that extra position to. Because before what they were doing is they would have to call for
70% of $49,000 is 34.3.
And we had, we had military leave. We had some extended FMLA mm-hmm. leave. I mean, I can't project
I know.
Every year what that's going to be. But with the extra, they should be able to shift things around as far as staffing levels. They would have a better, they could go back and run some numbers from back then. But they made the statement that they pretty much had all that overtime mm-hmm. eliminated the last time they added.
And it broke back up.
Yeah, well, and they've been short.
They've been short.
So you have to understand, while they had $49,000 in overtime costs, mm-hmm. they haven't been paying out as much in salary.
Right.
Because they're short. They have vacancies. Mm-hmm. So it just shifts from salary to overtime.
Okay, but in the 20 budget request, all the positions are in there for 95%.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not basing it on what they were actually spending in 19. They're basing it on a projection, or Lisa's basing it on a projection of all positions being filled.
Their average overtime for the three previous years that we have actual was 154.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they've got 160 in this year's budget.
And a $60,000 or $65,000 position annualized.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should take about $30,000 out of that other time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's one simple cut, and I think it's fairly justified.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what we're working from, which, but at least to get a list of some things, then we see where it goes in. Is that?
Mm-hmm. I'm at the back. Okay, the third option, right? Looking because it shows the smallest overall levy amount, increase in levy amount, and still we've got roughly the same $300,000 difference. I didn't write it down.
297, what did you say?
297,389.
297.
Oh,
so
about
10%
of it.
Right? Yeah, right there.
Are there any other things that, Lisa, that you could bring that you've seen that might be anybody else?
What about training and conferences budget? Most of them didn't seem overly that we were doing a whole lot of over-travel or whatever, but we do have $21,000 in the Board of Supervisors portion itself. How much of that could we pull back? I mean, could we pull back $10,000?
You want to cut half out of it? Wow.
Depending on looking at, who's going, if everybody picks one conference each in a year. I mean, if you're looking at really the austerity, trying to keep the levy as low as the increase on the levy as low as possible, and also try to narrow up this gap of the 297,000. So, and my thinking here is the things that we look at keeping are what require an actual travel for certification, right? To actually keep someone's educational credentials, that's a keeper, right? And if they have to travel, they can't get it through through some type of course closer, et cetera. I'm having trouble finding that.
I would suggest not looking at just for certification, but what also you get from those. I mean, that's where we get our information, our training. That's how we stay up to date on any law changes, any information like that. So it's not just certifications. Yeah, I have certifications that I have to take CEUs for, but the staff that work, they don't. But I think it's just as valuable for them to get the education and training as it is for me, even though I, have some CEOs, I can get those somewhere else, my CEUs.
Let me ask you this. I didn't remember, other than the Sheriff's Department and the County Attorney, they were only other two departments that had what I would consider significant training budgets. Now, as a percentage of their total budgets, very small, all right? But, okay, then we go to take a look at the other departments and how big the training budgets are, and all of a sudden we stand out as a lot.
Sure.
Okay, so that's why it caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
On that, about, okay, so Alyssa, you're saying...
And if you look under the narrative, I have it split out. So, like, the Board of Supervisors...
Help me on the page. Please.
It's 33.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
So, I have it split out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean... We'll do with whatever the board decides, if that's what we need to cut, and then we'll make the decision as to who goes to what conference.
$3,300 each for the supervisors?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're looking at?
In part, it's about attending for various. Now, I've been asked by the chamber, would I go to the lobby, but I don't have to go to the lobby. I mean, quite frankly, in Washington, D.C., I do not have to go. The chamber, anyway, there's going to be one set of perspective there. We have the opportunity as supervisors to be able to communicate with our legislators. So that's one place I'm thinking I don't have to go. Okay?
That's going to be... we could do some of that. That's not getting us to the bigger...
No, I know, but I'm just... We're thinking now, because I was kind of going through the CIP, and then I realized I had my old marked up, not what was brought to us this morning. I apologize for not bringing that.
Something.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm committed to two trips to NACO each year as part of the International Economic Development Task Force.
But aren't they paying for that?
No.
Well, they're coming out of our budget? I'm sorry, I was uninformed on that. I thought that they were reimbursing. Wow. I guess it's been that way for a while. You probably haven't changed anything.
It's been that way since before me. I think Jane was on those. In fact, Wayne was on those, and so, yeah, I mean, it's a change in philosophy after I feel like a commitment's been made to join that group and be the lone representative from Iowa on that. So I'd be hesitant at least this year to say no, and then if we want to change things, we can change things, but.
Okay,
John, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, so, locked in. Thank you. Obviously, I hear your concern about the commitment, pulling back on that particular commitment right now, okay? So, and I expect for all three supervisors to go in Des Moines, those are small amounts. Those are registered.
What, 190, I think, mm-hmm. is the last
yeah,
one.
Yeah, so, okay. So keeping everybody's eyes back in, right? And then coming up to county outreach and special projects. So, Leanne, once again, I know I wrote down a conference. You had a big conference to go to? Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to go to, but I have to see for AICP and CFM both. I think I can do CFM mostly webinars, but AICP, I need to go somewhere for ethics and law.
Okay. All right.
So, if you have to attend in person.
Okay, so.
I don't know what that is, that the state conference will call, or the national conference is going to come, so that I'm definitely not going.
Okay. So. All right, so back to human resources then. That would be sending two people to all the conferences?
We do, and if we have to, we can just do one. I mean, both of us go to the national now. It's valuable. That's the reason I've asked for the funding, but. If we get to only being able to send one, then
mm-hmm.
you know, that information can be shared.
Okay.
I am on the IPOVA board, so I do have meetings and commitments there.
Okay. Okay.
I'm the vice president of that board.
Okay. Okay, and Deb, you got both ISACs and NACO. So you could pull NACO and just do ISACs then.
Oh, it'll be just one ISAC conference if you're one.
Oh, the big one. Okay.
And I do, I mean, I keep up my social work license. I pay for all of that training out of pocket and do not seek reimbursement. So none of that is included in here.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And then the NAGO conference is the one in the summer.
Okay. But that, if we all cut back except for what we're obligated to do with NAGO mm-hmm. through RIC, I mean, we've come up with, what, close to $10,000? So.
I think that is more than robbing Peter to pay Paul. I mean, to the value that Story County has traditionally placed on the training and the networking and making sure that our staff have those kind of ties. I mean, like I say, it goes way back before me
mm-hmm.
that Story County has lived with that philosophy. And that's highly concerning that it sounds like we're going to start trying to save pennies when there's other ways to do it and lose what has one of the things that has traditionally made Story County a frontline.
Respond if you're not ready to. If you're ready, go.
I think that 10,000 might be high. I do think if we go to other departments and are cutting some more operating, we should be willing to take something out of the supervisor's budget.
That's my response.
And I don't need to go to NACO. So I wouldn't mind, but I don't need to. So that can be part of that. Maybe a $5,000 total, and I could contribute. I don't know what NACO for me would be. That could come out.
Okay. And that is the other way we could do it, is pay out of our own pockets for NACO. I mean, that's an option to still
could do.
For us to go, yeah. to be able to
Maybe,
go.
I think a few $1,000 out of the Board of Supervisors budget needs to be done in terms of some leadership.
Yeah, and
I would say let's plug in five now and see where we go with some other things.
Okay. If I'm not, as I go through the, yeah.
Okay. So you want $5,000 out of the training budget?
Yes.
Yeah. Or maybe just out of supervisors and maybe there's some other place.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, taking it out of operations is different. I mean, it's still, some of it can come out of travel, but...
Let's just $5,000 out of operations to start with.
Yeah, let's start to move on. Got it.
Can we go to the CIP?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Because that's then, where, I think, larger sums come in.
Maybe we can come back to Board of Supervisors for other categories also. All right.
Okay.
To the CIP. All right.
We'll be different from our operating.
But is it all for
you? About
did
4%, 3.5-4% cut.
Yeah, and am I right that both the playscape at McFarland and the playground at Dakin's would need to front to conservation, both of them?
Mm-hmm.
Were
those moved in your new numbers?
Yes, they were.
Okay.
So when we're looking at general fund, there's $25,000 for Hickory Grove Park cabinet design, mm-hmm. and that's general fund. I would propose that be deleted. We've already, and it may be that it's going to be a different cabin than we've done at Dakin's Lake, but the year before we're designing a cabin at Dakin's Lake. I would see that as being something to move out of 20 at least and maybe put into 21. And that is general fund, correct?
Yes, correct. For the Hickory Grove Park cabin.
That would be $25,000.
I'm looking for
it. Yeah, I don't remember it. I remember it being CIP with a possibility that we're going to use general fund, but I don't remember that 25 being any general fund dollars.
Fiscal year 2020, it's
in the CIP.
I'm talking about in the budget.
Oh.
It doesn't matter if it's in the CIP.
Okay.
If it didn't make it in the budget.
If it didn't make it in the
budget,
well, then that doesn't.
Good idea.
What do we have in the budget that we can look at there? We have nothing now?
We don't have nothing.
No.
But we were pretty careful with general fund dollars, as I recall.
What do we have in general fund?
Buildings and equipment for conservation.
Well, most of what
CLP,
I see there.
And CIP stuff.
Either.
Okay.
Both would be more grammatical, nearly grammatical.
$10,000 on Prairie Rail Trail, $19,000 on Hickory Grove Concrete Trail from the boat ramp to the Island Bridge. Sewer replacement, the big ones, $450,000.
We need,
Please have to start what page you on.
I'm on 83. Part of our trail paving at $250,000 this year and $250,000 next year.
That has grant dollars.
Yeah,
and that's
a grant dollars
associated with it, and
yep.
they're using transfer funds too. And then
transfer funds.
Recycling money.
So is there more? Could they pick up more of it with the DAPL money?
Some show as an expenditure. Still going to show as an expenditure because we're moving it from general fund dollars.
It is. And they were promised that they pretty much could spend it as they wanted. Although last year we put a little pressure on them to spend some of it. So.
The $450,000 in Hickory Grove steel replacement. I have no expertise here, but is there the possibility that that's high?
No.
It's low.
That's the
and
lowest.
That's what
right.
I'm afraid of.
That's a capital project. Yeah. Thank God. That's not general fund dollars.
We'll play along with us, and I was going to report on that today, and then forgot. Then we could be up to around $700,000 if we've got to do something that I don't even know what the
I think that's even light.
Yeah, I
think it's more like $1 million. Anyway.
Yeah. So
$450,000 is the least.
Yeah. That was.
So the contract.
Is it three positions just driving this to be so different from last year?
And that doesn't count the water shared coordinator, correct? That's the one that's left out. Is the water shared coordinator.
Correct.
So this is for the telecommunicator. This is for the housing something, housing services coordinator, okay, and then also for the trail technician.
And watershed coordinator.
And we don't even have the watershed coordinator in here.
So, can somebody help me out with this? What has happened so significantly from the 19 to the 20 budget? What's driving us being balanced?
Positions to start with.
The positions that they're at.
Also, don't we have some more requests for some, like the IVRM building, which has actually been pushed ahead a couple of years?
We have some projects, dollars that are moving forward that we've either signed on to, approved, whatever, gone to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, that's why I was recommending to take some of the dollars out of and not pay for everything out of the rural fund, not pay for the new building out of the rural fund, change that. Manipulate those numbers a little bit.
Which is how we got to the back page option, correct?
And quite frankly, Rick is exactly right. There's a reason why there aren't really many places of people that are able to balance the budget per se when you have to use your dollar. You have to use the dollars that are sitting there. You have to, you have to spend those dollars. And the only way to spend them sometimes is, oh, they've been sitting here and they need to be spent here.
In that case.
But let's be clear on that, too. We've got 1.7 million of those sitting there that we're not even counting. So in the truest sense of a balanced budget, it would be the bottom line, the 47 to the 45.
Which is what I looked at first.
Exactly, and that's where you've been talking about, oh my God, we're $1 million, we're $2 million upside down, and the reality is we're not, because that is, we've been saving money over the last few years to do some of these things, and it's the reason that I've moved up three lines to truly talking about operationally. So where we're going to get in trouble is if we consistently, routinely budget to spend more than we budget to bring in. Not counting the savings where we've got big projects that we're going to do, right? And that's why we're not, or at least in my mind, we're not looking at the bottom line right now. We're looking at operational. And at the end of the day, Loris and Linda, you guys just philosophically have to decide how important it is to line those up. Most counties don't. Story County traditionally did not, and none of these three are bad budgets. None of them are bad
so
budgets.
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying you are not uncomfortable with option three, not cutting the expenses any further, and you're comfortable with raising the rural by 3 cents and the supplemental by 3 cents. You are supporting that? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know that that's what I'm saying. First of all, I think our rural is light. I think it's been light. I think it's time to raise the rural for sure. Supplemental is a function of trying to drive what your budget looks like. So you know either items qualify to be paid out of supplemental or not. Just because they qualify doesn't mean you have to pay them out of supplemental,
right.
But it means you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so you drive that by determining what you're going to pay out of supplemental. I'm one of those. So I think I'm most comfortable between one and, well, I'm most comfortable with one, but a watered down version of one.
What is watered down?
Not to be about a watered down.
It means you're not doing the 1% operating across the board. You're not getting all the way to balance, but you're dang close to balanced. It means that the three of us are signing on to a major tax increase in order to get there. But it is also the most responsible of the three.
Mm-hmm.
Of the three, in terms of, Loris, if flexibility is what is important to you. And here's the other thing I just want to point out. We don't know yet, and we can't talk about it today, But we don't know what Healthy Life Center looks like and what, if any, impact it's going to have on us, because we haven't had that conversation yet.
Is that next Tuesday?
No, the 19th.
Two Tuesdays.
We can't talk about it.
But it is... trying to figure out how I can say something that's really bothering me, and I'm not sure how easy it's going to be.
Is this from a tax standpoint?
From a tax standpoint, and who's getting the who's hitting, and where they see the money going in the county.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's my concern.
Mm-hmm. Would you feel that maybe the unincorporated areas might feel they're really getting the high jump? If we go with the bulk money,
they're going to see projects that in two-thirds of the county is in Ames, they're going to see more money potentially going into the incorporated areas, and it being Ames, and yes, there's a supplemental, but there's also the rural, and they're going to be getting tipped twice. I think it'd be a very unpopular. Mm-hmm. thing, and I can understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's valid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know we have not made some decisions, but there's decisions that may be made that go right into what I just said.
Yeah, but I view that, Linda, as you're talking to the perception, which I think you're 100% right of what the perception is. The reality is... because we have been as sound as we've been the last few years, we have actually been supplementing things that are appropriately paid out of the rural through general dollars, which primarily come out of our valuation is in our municipalities.
Right.
That's where we're pulling most of our tax dollars from. But you're not wrong on the perception of this stuff. And I think I've said that all the way through. I think I've said the whole way through, our rural guys are going
to
look at this and not
like
it at all.
I don't
want to
go to Thursday night. Thank you very much.
Right.
Farm Bureau.
Linda, on the Healthy Life Center meeting, and then this is not going to violate anything. This is trust me on this, I believe. Okay. I did make a statement pointing out what Rick just said, that at the urging or kind of the prompting of Steve Shanker, and he said, and how many taxes does Ames pay? All right, so which is basically what Rick just said, okay, on that. And I did make the statement that, the west side of I-35 supports the east side of I-35.
You did make that statement.
Yes, okay.
Heard that on the video.
Okay, so I just want to point out that in somewhat support of raising the taxes in the unincorporated area, some I support because of we still have to have payment in to support the rural fund.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm headed. See, I told you I was going to stay there. So then
the other problem I also have is I look at the CIP and I think, Rick, you're saying we can have a year where the revenues in a 12-month period do not cover the expenditures. I look at the CIP, I see the things we've got coming up, and I think, how is it going to be different in 21?
Mm-hmm.
Unless we do some belt tightening or tax increases or a combination of both now. We've got to do the buildings, obviously. There's things there that have to be done. Are there anything, I do look at some of the things in the CIP and say,
we're just, I don't know. I'm just amazed at how much money there is in the next few years, potentially, in the CIP. And all those to be determined, you know, have a couple commas in them. And I don't know how many did just before the first one. I just look at it and go, that's 20 worries me, not just for 20, but what comes after 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just feel like something's got to give in there.
Right. So, Linda, I think you're seeing it exactly right, but I think you've got it. Hopefully, you would look at it in context. And here's the reality for Story County. Story County bit off more than it could chew in the early 2000s when we built the Justice Center, renovated this place, and you saw us jump from about $28 million to about $40 million in the span of about 4 or 5 years. And we could not afford to keep up, and so we started doing that on the backs of deferred maintenance,
mm-hmm.
not building anything, not keeping up with what Story County needed, not giving raises to our employees, you know, just not paving any new roads, not building any new bridges, we handled it by not doing things. And what's happened over the last half dozen to 8 years is we have, in fact, tightened things down where we have finally caught back up. But what we haven't caught back up on is the reality that we're 20 years down the road in a growing county that's demanding more services.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, so we built two new secondary road sheds that were long overdue. I mean, long, long, long overdue. And the things you see in the CIP are simply a function. It would be great if we were doing, I'll do it with bridges, if we build 6 bridges a year, eventually we catch up and we get on a rotation. But we weren't building 6 a year, so now we've got to build more than 6 a year in order to get back on track. We're in the exact same position with our facilities, and now we're double whammy because our Justice Center is 20 years old, taking a beating, and it lives a hard life, and we're going to be spending money over there to keep it updated. And it is why I believe we've got to be forward looking in this thing, because it's not going to get easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, so we're finally at ground zero where we can say, okay, this is what we got coming, now we got to figure it out. It took us 8 years to get to ground zero because we were way underwater
right.
before.
And that's why I keep on coming to option one. And I know it's a large tax increase, but it does show that we're staying with the balance and that a tax increase is needed. I don't know that it's better to go with option three and do 3 increases in 3 years. Two at least for me this year, next year, okay, and or whether we just unfortunately say, okay, we've really been good with not raising taxes, and now it's the time that we have to raise. We've handled, previous boards have handled, gotten us out of kind of underwater in some things and with deferred maintenance and whatever, but now it's, we need to look ahead, and that includes we're going to have to increase. Zipping lip and looking to see who else would like to speak now.
When is the last time we reduced or we increased taxes and which taxes? I'm sorry, I don't know that information.
Last year, the countywide, didn't we go down 2 cents?
Yeah, when I walked in the door, we were $5.82 in the countywide, and now we're $5.06. And it hasn't been a straight drop, but it's been a drop more years than not. Is that right?
So
am I remembering it right?
It was your office.
I was off a penny, okay.
$5.66 for the general, a supplemental offer countywide.
For countywide.
$5.65 in 10-11.
And then we went to $5.82.
We went to $5.49. 553,
550,
538, 568, 509.
Well, I don't find any confirmation.
So.
Anyway.
So the county was able to, in UESA countywide, you are referring to?
The top.
Yeah, general.
General.
Both basic and supplemental, mental health, and debt service.
Okay.
In 15-16, that was at $5.68, and we're proposing $5.06.
I think most people, their county taxes are like 14% of their
total tax bill.
Their consolidated taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Schools are the biggest hit for anybody.
And the last time we raised the rural only, if you look at the rural only, was 2012-13. We went up 2 cents.
That's when we were busting our butt to get balance for the first time.
And then, of course, at option three, $279,000, you're proposing, one proposal would be, we'll just go ahead and take it out of the reserve. What would that be? Is that going to be the 34% ending general fund balance on option three then? If we do take out a reserve, we don't balance, we do take it out of reserve, we maybe pull, do a little bit of an adjustment to show leadership.
Goes to 31, right?
31%.
Okay, I've lost my sheet of paper.
34 was option one.
34 was option one.
Thank you. So let's get a bad tool.
Like, be realistic.
Because you come so close to the, I mean, in reality,
right.
You come close to the 95%, right?
With the turnover.
Yes, with turnover.
So, and that's why 95 works, because you have those savings.
Now your smaller departments,
That's always the problem is that,
it's not as though the board doesn't make them whole.
Yeah.
I come in and redo the salary or recalculate the salaries in April and say, okay, this is what I think they're really going to spend, and amend it into them. So it's
So the reality of the novel 95% thing. Yes, it's a budgetary tool based on overall what we actually spend. But as much as anything, what it did for us in a couple areas, and I'll stay very general when I say this, but it saved us operational dollars because we had a couple areas that would utilize savings in the salary line items for operational purposes, and this took that off the table.
Right.
Which was a real savings of about $250,000.
Correct.
Thereabouts. So we don't talk about that, but that's the reality.
Mm-hmm. Right. So to summarize, 95% salaries and everything. The comp board recommendations are included in everything.
Yeah.
They came out.
As 100%, which is a minimum. Actually, I mean,
sure. Yeah, that's not someplace you're gonna.
No, you're
not worth arguing about. We're not gonna argue about that. Okay. Option three moves the shed, RVM shed.
Capital projects.
so that'd be the
tackle. So that 52 is out of there.
Whatever. Nothing. Because there's money in the county.
Yeah. Contract. Sorry, I'm sure we did this before.
Moves it out of rural funding.
But the feasibility study from a farm and conservation never
gone.
Made it in.
Didn't make it.
Okay.
Is well, that cut.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Okay, so that's already out. Is there anything else in 20 capital improvement plan in this general fund that I'm missing that could be even considered?
I
hate to ask you, every time I say could a figure be a little high, I hear, oh no, it's below, so I'm probably giving up on that line. Lucy. 188,000 is a good number, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
except all us.
It's 182 or something.
188,020.
Yeah. The budget's 192, so if you want to, I don't know, I can't remember why that is.
Okay.
Just might have been the timing of when I did the thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the old draft. I'm not looking at the budget.
Unfortunately, the two things that pop to my mind are things I don't know that I want to give up yet. Okay. One would be the IRVM spray truck, which are general funds and grants at 91.6. But boy, that's
rural.
It's rural.
Thank you. Okay.
We moved it to rural.
That would be for just a note for next year. If it's in rural, you know, rather than say general funds, just say general versus rural. I mean, really help us get to
this. This is from our, when we went over the draft.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Yep, I wrote rural.
Oh, I see rural there. I gotcha. Okay, thank you.
And the cabin, so going from the bottom up, the general fund, the cabin design was not, never made it in. The campground expansion planning of 80,000 for Hickory Grove. That's planning. That's 80,000 for planning.
It's in CIB, but it's not in the budget.
Yeah.
Not in the budget.
Not in the budget either.
So Hickory Grove Cabin is not
okay,
in the budget.
So I need to take that.
No, this is campground expansion planning.
But yeah,
that's
but
not
I
in
think
there
what Lisa's saying is the dollars didn't move over to the actual
okay,
budget.
I thought she was saying cabin. I'm sorry.
Well, I was asking clarification. Oh. So I need to remember.
We were across the
CIB.
Table talking.
Okay.
So.
And then the planning for the campground expansion is not in either.
And so phase one of Nature Trail paving, 90,000.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Fallon's got a lot of grant money associated with it too. I mean,
yeah,
some of these.
This
yeah.
is the one that doesn't say how much is. I'm sorry. I am never one who said that a balanced budget, in my mind, meant that the revenues in any given 12-month period had to balance with the exceeded expenses. Okay, that's not. However, I am just concerned where we go in 21,
mm-hmm.
with all the money in 21. That's my concern about saying let's not find more to get out of 20.
Mm-hmm.
Is where we're going to be in 21, and I'm going to be here.
Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly the way to look at it. I mean, if you spend $300,000 in order to be able to get by this year, that's $300,000 that you don't have next year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well,
and I think you're seeing it exactly right, Linda. It's not like this year is going to be an anomaly unless the Board of Supervisors goes back to the days of no bridges, no roads, no deferred maintenance. I mean, how many years did you have a leak above the roof in your office? I mean, seriously, three or four years.
Oh, yeah.
Because we couldn't spend $150,000 to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why I put option three out there, as far as $0.04, $0.03, $0.02, and $0.03, whatever the difference in those levies are. That $8.27, basically, does not it gets you closer. I mean, I can go back and rerun some numbers and see how I come up on the revenues. Maybe my revenues are low. Maybe I can find more revenues. I don't know if I can find $300,000 worth.
Well, we don't, yeah. And we found 35,000 expenses, which doesn't help you a lot.
But it's something.
It's something. And I think, I honestly, with that overtime, if something should come out of a budget at a certain time, I just feel like it should. Otherwise, it's going to be the base for the next year, and you just lose control of
that
opportunity to adjust where you should. And I'm wondering, are there other places, since I'm not that familiar with the budget, that there are some other places like that?
I'd like to take a look at the dump truck purchases, 3 units for secondary roads. I mean, if I recall,
secondary roads funds have 32% ending funds.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
so we've
got
to spend it. Yeah. Darn it.
Well, is that the one where Ed Auger said something about?
Yeah.
Bill Matt Tegmark.
It was a quick thought.
I mean,
there's no low-hanging fruit. I mean, there's just, I get it. I appreciate you guys wanting the low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. There's just not low-hanging fruit. These are philosophical, and Linda, I think you're viewing exactly right. These are longer-term decisions,
right?
Because the reality is you can go with any of these three, mm-hmm. but then you start talking about 21 and 22 and 23, and what are you shaping things up to look like? And it's up to the three of us to decide.
What are people's expectations when something's in the capital improvement plan for fiscal 21? I mean, the fact that they're there is kind of like that's a...
Think about
is
that.
Is it a wish list? Or
think
does
it,
as it,
it
get closer?
Down, it could
it,
be coming
yes.
down the road. Because the Justice Center remodel is a really prime example of that, because for years and years and years we've had that, not years, but how many years have we had that out there?
Years and years and years.
We had the study on it, we had everything. Well, now that's a totally different ballgame. It doesn't look anything the same.
Yeah, but it's something we know we got to do.
Right.
Do we have to do? And this is just something I just looked at, my eyes went down to. A second cabin at Dakin's Lake for $260,000 for over $250,000 in fiscal 21. Those are the kind of things that are driving up what it looks like in future years.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you could say it's a whoosh, it's a dream, it's a vision, whatever. But when it gets in a capital improvement plan, it becomes an expectation in some people's minds.
I think that cabin is there because it's a very aggressive plan from the Conservation Board.
Yeah.
I think that it was discussed to ad nauseum when we originally talked about the cabin, that until it was, the first one was up and running and could see if it was actually, because he had a seven-year
repayment, but...
Yes. It would pay for itself in 7 years. And reality is, I don't think anybody on the board at that time was willing to say, oh, yeah, that's going to happen,
right,
until they saw it really happen. So at this point in time, Linda, we are in FY, we are over halfway through FY19. We have not done anything for that cabin.
So that's not going to happen
so
in
21. So that's not going to happen in 20.
Take it out.
So, yeah.
Well, we can't do that here.
Well, I'm just saying there's got to be some ways to send some messages. Okay, we can't do it here. Granted.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said wish list, so the further out you go in the capital improvement program, the more of a wish list it is. Everything that is next year, nothing has been committed to.
Except
except the motor graders.
Well, yeah, but then the further out it goes, the more of a wish list it is, and the, it adjusts every year.
Mm-hmm.
Things move up and down, and we're going to see the same thing with our secondary roads 5-year plan, right? If it's in year one or two, well, one we're doing, two maybe, three tough, four is a wish list, five, no idea.
So I know we're still in the learning curve here, so I'm going to ask. Once something gets in the capital improvement plan, how does it get out? If it's 2 years down the road. I mean, if for 20, if we don't fund it, does it get moved to 21? Or does it go out?
It can happen a couple of different ways. One,
okay.
When we start talking about the budget every year, I send out the forms for CFP requests.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the meetings that staff do, we look at what's already in there. And we have candid discussions. Is this the reality? Do we push it back a year? Do we drop it? We've dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't specifically tell you right now what we've dropped. I know
we've dropped things.
Okay, who is the we?
CFP committee.
CFP committee. Lisa, Deb, Joby, me,
Darren, Mike Cox.
Darren, Mike Cox, Mike, Barb.
Okay.
It can happen at that level, so it when it even comes in draft before the board.
And I have a question with that.
Yep.
So keep going.
Go ahead, Mike.
I asked before, in fact, I know I've asked the last 2 years, about is this everything that came before the CIT committee? And I've been told yes. So it hasn't been recently that anything's been dropped. That's it? Keep going.
No, actually, I know we've dropped stuff. I can't even...
And is it projects that departments or offices thought they wanted to, and then all of a sudden there's no need for them?
Because the building remodel, not building remodel, the county, old county farm, whatever you want to call that out there, the building out there has gone from a small we're not going to even, now we're kind of, it's on the back burner.
Okay. It's 4:15. I'm probably dragging this meeting out because I'm not real, real crazy about these two tax increases and what they do to people in unincorporated areas. Okay, that's why I'm trying to get more comfort. But I'm trying to get more comfort with this third option. But what keeps gnawing at me is the CIP. And I know everybody can just say it's a whoosh list, but what I'm seeing
is a guiding document.
Guiding document.
Because we're not like the city of Ames, where it's concrete set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is, it's an element of the comp plan. And it, when you look at county government, capital improvement planning takes a whole different step.
Mm-hmm.
It helps budgeting.
Yeah,
to forecast. Yeah,
it probably
helps.
Yeah, the years
over the years. I mean, it was just a shock because large amounts would be put in a budget request.
Right.
And it gives the board some idea of what might be coming down the road, like all the buildings.
Balance your priorities.
Yeah.
And how those are very difficult.
But the only way it comes out, other than the CIP committee themselves saying, let's take that out, is if the board for the next fiscal year says we're not going to fund that, then it automatically comes out, or we could say as an alternative, why don't you put it in 2021?
Yeah.
We're looking at 20 as an example. Okay.
I think just anecdotally, stuff just gets pushed into the out years.
Mm-hmm. And then the out years get bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, stuff gets done, but
right.
still.
But they're looked at. I mean, the committee looks at, looks at that. And now this was approved to go.
I'm thinking about the infill project, which has been on the CIP, I think.
And that has evolved.
It keeps moving.
And it's like, it just keeps
but
going.
But it has changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's
gone down.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's a really good tool.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
It is, but you just keep in mind, it's a different tool for counties.
Mm-hmm.
Or even school districts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a total different approach for a county to use than when you're budgeting the road over Texas.
But the,
My next question for Alyssa, but only Linda if you're done on that part. Okay, all right. So if we go to IT, and we take a look at the rotation in IT about how long before machines are placed out, you know, before we rotate out. And what is it right now? 3 years?
Four.
Used to be three.
Now we already four.
Yeah, I know.
There's no low-hanging fruit, Laura.
Okay.
So I'm telling.
All right. No.
I mean, there are some items. I mean, I have an item budget request for IT for performance management. We need to cut. I'd rather cut that than, I'll be honest, I'd rather cut that than education and training.
Okay.
I think the educate, but I'm a big proponent of education and training.
I understand.
My background.
Then.
So
I
we
broadened our 5,000 to a board of supervisors general.
No, and I have other. I mean, we have other areas within the board's budget, contract labor. I mean,
okay.
I don't know how many grievances, if we're going to have any. So I've got 10,000 budgeted in consultant fees for anything related to negotiations. I may have nothing. It just depends. I don't have a lot of grievances.
Okay.
That doesn't mean we won't have something major next year, so it's kind of a placeholder.
Okay.
We did cut some other things. We took our taxable fringe down by, what, 1,000?
Yeah.
Since our budget work session, I reevaluated that. So we did, $1,000 in tons, but we did cut something. But we can find the 5,000 within the course budget. I'm not concerned about that. Okay. I just don't want it to be tied exactly to education and training. I mean,
well,
if we can find it, you know.
And if we take the 5,000 down, my only thought was, while you value education and training,
and we don't spend like HR 5,500. We probably don't spend quite that much. And
well,
if I need to cut back to only state conferences, we can do that. Just understand there is.
I look
there
at
is
what's
great
the value.
Value
of going
yeah.
to a national meeting.
We can't
I
get
do.
That around here, but we do have local conferences. So if there's 1 year we can't, I just wouldn't want it to be, you know, every year from now on that we can't, you know, because that's where a lot of, I mean, from my perspective, that's how we built that HR department, was
well,
the information that we got from the conferences.
And that's your perspective on the HR.
Yeah.
I take a look at these conferences from, if you're not looking for a specific thing you want to do, I look at traveling for a national conference about thinking, I bet I can find a lot of this information on the internet. If I don't have a particular view there, and then the networking part of it is, I've had good parts and I've had bad parts. I just know that when I take a look at all the conferences I've been to in different industries and everything, I come back to anymore. I ask myself, why am I going? Why am I spending this money? Especially if it's other people's money. Right? Which is why I said, you know, okay, well, I don't have, you know, Kelly doesn't have to pay for me to go to NACO. If I want to go, I'll go on my own money. And, but I wonder if the value for me, or the value for, quite frankly, is any of us to go just generally to go, if there's really that value when we have to cut. And I think it's a good way to show leadership, because we are talking about saying we're going to cut back on some of general education. I'm not talking about your part. I'm talking about generally, you know, what specifically is the goal? What is, will each one of us going to NACO bring back that we can say that we absolutely contributed directly to this organization? Now, I know I can think of a couple of things with Jane Halliburton, and I can think of a couple of things, three or four at least, with Paul Fitzgerald, with him being president of his affiliate. Mm-hmm. Okay?
It's not that much money, though.
Yeah, I wish you'd talk to Jane Halliburton, and before you start saying that, I wish you would go to a couple NACO conferences and see firsthand. So I would start with Jane Halliburton. If you trust her, talk to her about it. I didn't go to a NACO conference in my first 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Jane finally got to me. But to just make that statement without you ever having gone, without talking to people who went, Jane went every year for 20 years.
She's like the real caucus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's a tough one. The other thing is, and I'll come back to kind of where Linda has pushed this thing, I still like the idea of saying to the Board of Supervisors, but also to everybody else, go find a few operational dollars. We don't care where you're taking it out of your operations. We're not micromanaging and saying it's got to come out of this line, or we're not saying to Lisa, take 1% out of every line item. We're saying roughly 1% is $50,000 mm-hmm. out of this budget, operationally, is $50,000 out of this budget. Now, if we're directing Alyssa and Deb to go find $5,000 in our operational budget, great, go find the $5,000 out of the $34,000 and let's go. But we should also say to Recorder Herridge, go find $1,000 in your budget and take it out of there. And we should say to County Attorney Reynolds, go find $1,300 out of your budget, wherever you deem.
Well, I thought that's kind of what we were doing. We've already done that. We said 1% out of operating.
Well, no, we backed off of that.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I heard you say, coming forward, that you were saying, well, maybe, you know...
I'm trying to give you guys options. This is.
I understand.
Yeah.
So it's the three of us. It's not us guys, Rick.
It's I know where I am. Okay. And I want to make sure that you guys, the two of you, are making the best decisions you can for you based on all the information available. And that's all I'm trying to get.
Mm-hmm. So let's put the 1%, the 50,000 back in. That's correct. Okay. I'm proposing.
Yeah, but can we just clarify that we're not talking about cutting every line item by 1%. Mm-hmm. We're talking about cutting every office and department. They figure out where it comes from.
Their operating budget, not their personnel costs.
Right.
That's what we've got to make sure that people understand, because that's why Jessica was here. Because she thought she was getting a 1% cut on a budget, 90% personnel cost.
Okay, so
it was
the example that you have that we've been looking at, the example number 3 that I keep referring to, does not have that 1% is reinstated.
Okay.
Right.
So the expenses of 19,556,118 for the general fund are reinstated to just having 95% salaries.
Okay.
Right. That goes to 19,505,58 mm-hmm. if we're taking that 50-ish thousand out of it.
Mm-hmm. So the 51,000, the 30,000, and I don't know then. If we have a 35,000 operating budget for the board, we gave ourselves more than a.
It's about a 3.5%
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but
let's the $5,000, which I mean, I'm not saying we can't do it.
Let's do it.
I mean,
let's do it. Let's.
And I'm bouncing around a little bit here now because we got lost about the proposal. I heard one that on option one, which is the front page, to give back the 1%. Is that what I heard, or did we back off of that?
I'm proposing we put that back in. That
on option one.
That we include the 1% operating. I'm working on the third page.
All right, which is already...
I'm working on the third page. I'm
okay.
Not going back to page one.
Well, that's because that's still what I'm referring
to. I think we get to a point of what do we think are realistic operating cuts and see how much we can get that we don't think is draconian. And then we go back and say, now what option does this... How can we fit this in? What happens to the tax rate?
Well, we have a big one that we all experienced, or almost all of us experienced last year, is when the insurance was quite a bit higher
mm-hmm.
than we thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
We're
so
still waiting.
Huh? Yeah, I know that.
We're
I know.
Still waiting.
So that's one of the reasons I keep on coming back to option one, which has those higher levy increases, but we don't even know truly what one of our large expenses may come in at. If we come in over 15%, even this one, with its 99%, you know, budget instead of 100% on operating, this one gets blown out of the water also. I mean, as far as balancing. So that's why I come to one. Now, going to three, if I heard this correctly, that it's 100% of operating costs. All right? Okay. So then We still don't know if we could be even more dipping into the general fund, given what may happen with the insurance.
That's supplemental. The insurance is supplemental.
Right. So then we could end up raising that levy more to cover any increase.
And I'll get more information. First 15 is ICE.
You can't raise it once we publish.
Right. I understand that.
You can transfer more money out of the general fund.
All right. And so we're looking here at this point, it's what we're going to publish. Correct. We aren't going to be able to come back, and if Alyssa gets in 3 days the number,
I do not think it's going to be more.
And I
okay. But and we budgeted an extra amount in the supplemental. Now the rate that we get, we budgeted $200,000 for. So we budgeted a 15% increase for insurance and $200,000 for our reserve. Now understand the amount that we get from Aetna is the increase on our fully insured product. So trend is about 9%. We're at 94% utilization on the numbers that they're looking at for our renewal.
All right.
I'd like to hope we'll be between 9 and 11.
Give us a number.
We budgeted 15.
Yeah. So we're above 11.
We're above 11%. 9 to 11 is trend. Each carrier is different on the
that
trend.
That's what's into budget dollars.
Just a minute.
Sorry. Last year we did 15%, and we budgeted the $200,000. So we ended up with a 20%, so that $200,000 covered the extra.
Yep.
I'll go back again and ask. I know they have the numbers. I truly believe our carrier, our account rep, has the renewal. I just do not have it yet.
Right.
But we're also trying to grow the insurance because at this point we're still intending to move towards self-insurance.
Okay, but there's two things in there. There's the money to go towards the fund for self-insurance, and there's the money to cover an increase we may not get as high as what we've already looked at.
Correct.
I'm not suggesting that we
I wouldn't take anything out.
No,
right.
I'm not suggesting that we touch that because that's a good goal.
Mm-hmm.
But if we may have some extra money in there, and they know it pretty darn soon.
But it'd be supplemental for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the
so it's not going to help us out. Yeah.
Total funds out of supplemental are 4.2, and we have 4.8 levy, so we
got
a little bit extra.
Okay. And insurance has to come out of supplemental.
It doesn't have to, but that's where I mean it's one of the allowable to pay. That's why we pay it out.
Now, coming back into kind of this round table conversation, I heard Rick say that it was about we just go to each department and say, we want $1,000 from the recorder, and we want $1,500 more or whatever from the attorney's office, et cetera. We pull that amount down. What was the end result of that? Thinking we'd get rid of the $51,000 that way? You know, or accommodate the $51,000 by just dividing it up among the departments?
At roughly 1%.
Okay.
But instead of going line item by line item, you're saying to Recorder Herod, you're saying you've got, and I'm making this up, but if she's got $100,000 in operational expenses, you go find $1,000. We don't really care where you find it. Go find it.
I think the only thing is whether you want to say, do you want it to be a percent across the board? Do you want it to be, I mean, I'm still, you know, Rick keeps saying there's no low-hanging fruit. I think the overtime in the sheriff's office was fairly low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, but
given that.
No, I think that's a great catch. That's what we've typically done when we've increased a position is we've lowered the overtime. But I think that's a great catch.
And we can reach out to them and see if they feel like it's more than, I mean, I just threw out a percentage.
Now
I don't have the figures. They know. They're the ones that know exactly.
But
and conservation
is we set the we are the ones mm-hmm. the board is the one that puts the salary out
there.
And they will take whatever we get knowing that we'll make them full at the end of it.
And overtime's one of them. I mean, if they
I think if we ask, we'll.
But we did it with the two jailer positions, right? We was that a year ago or 2 years ago that we created the two jailer positions, and we took the overtime part of the head down exactly.
So what's conservation look like for overtime? Where there's a new position going in there?
They don't have a lot of.
Oh, well. Didn't leave me anywhere, though.
All right. So
their overtime. Sorry, I was just going to look that up.
Overtime clearing account, there's a 6,800. That's nothing. I don't know what.
Yeah, they only budget $6,800 in overtime.
Yeah, that sounds
and they paid $6,400 last year,
okay,
and they're at $4,700 already this year.
Then. Never mind, Jen.
And I'm not sure it's coming from the text. I'd have to do an analysis. Is it, you know, what part of conservation is the overtime? Is it the naturalist because they have some training, some evening? Or
if
is it the text?
If it's under $10,000, don't even worry about it, honestly.
So if we went with a straight percentage of operating expenses, if you will, as we went back to each department or office asking for them to do basically the 1%. The difference is you pick where it is, right? Which, what would that be like for the auditor's office then?
It would probably be about $7,000, I think.
Okay. All right.
Okay. A 1%?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I have that big nut in there for the
underneath.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And again, I'm going to say the perception will be interesting because you're proving three new positions.
And I don't have, if you want more justification for those from conservation and community, you know, what is conservation not able to accomplish without that position?
And they haven't been running overtime.
No.
They haven't been running overtime. I mean, that's the thing about the sheriff's department.
Right.
There was overtime.
Yep.
We've cut overtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that will cut overtime. That is valid both in terms of the position and then taking the overtime out.
Right.
You're right about the trails may be the one that doesn't really have.
I don't know.
Okay.
And
so
then community services is the same way. What are we not going to accomplish by not?
So I'm going to take a little unofficial directional poll here. All right. I favor option one, and I favor, I mean, you know, the 1%, give them 100%, but then tell them they have to come and take a percentage of the 51060 out of their budget prorationally so that we eliminate the 5106 down in the bottom line, and we still are calculated 16,000 to the good.
So you want the 51 in addition to the 30,000 and the 5,000? The 35,000.
Okay, so actually then I see what you're saying is that if we can take the 51060, subtract 35,000 from it.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just asking if you want the 51 in addition to the 30 and the 5. That has been already discussed.
Okay.
Just so
I hear that.
Yeah.
Right.
So we know.
No, I don't require that. But if that's how we want to go instead, let me ask you. Want it $51,000, all right? Pull from Linda. What would you like to do? Add it back and then tell the department to find X percentage of $51,000? Or do you want to take out the $30,000 we've already identified and the $5,000 we've already identified and then have it be the difference?
I want all three of those.
You want all three of them out?
Yes. The overtime, I think, is a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
The 5,000 Board of Supervisors operations, we've had our two staff here say they can help find that.
Okay.
And then the 51,000 is a 1% operating expense cut. It does hit some departments differently, but when the county attorney came in here and found out, all she was really looking at was a $500 cut to her budget rather than
I think it's 1,300 for her, by the way.
No, it's still
a lot more than the 30,000 she thought. All right.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I would say that we do take 1% out of the operating. We allow, and I know they'll have to get back, you know, to you, Lisa, to say take it out of this line item, but it's their discretion where it comes from. We're not going to micromanage that.
Not personnel.
Rick,
not personnel.
Your preference.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there.
Same with? All right, and is that on option three then?
Mm-mm.
No, it's on option one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so remember this. We can always decide to levy less. We can't decide to levy more.
Correct.
So if we go down this road, which is a hefty levy increase, right, we can always get to March 12th and have the realities on the ground say, okay, we don't want to go with that full levy, but we can't go the other way.
Correct. Okay. Then, however, are we going to talk about the sales coordinator and the housing coordinator positions?
Okay, so you'd like us to discuss then taking them out of the budget also?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead with the rationale behind that.
Well, the rationale for the sheriff's was easy, the overtime. I can't remember what the rationale was, you know, particularly for the trails coordinator and trails technician. But there isn't overtime there, so that's one reason I'm just not sure, and I could go back and read it, but I'm just not sure right now where the need is there. The housing services coordinator, I think, would be a fabulous thing for us to do. It would help people who are homeless. It would help other agencies get their resources out, but maybe it's not the year to do it.
Well, and I do on the housing coordinator one, I'm talking to Brenda Dreyer as her role as Story County Housing Trust Fund VP or Vice Chair, whatever it is. I'm doing that on Friday because it turned out she didn't know it, and also the chair didn't know it, and wondering about synergies again, okay, what could we put together. So I'm a little uncomfortable going for a full-time position there. If we're going to expand it to provide more assistance throughout the county and have one central coordinated point, I'm willing to spend that money, especially if we could bring some more people in. So I don't necessarily want to pull the housing services coordinator position. I think the trails person, the rationale I heard, and I think I said this at the time, is that we're getting more and more trails done. I've been up to McCallsburg a couple times, and they want to talk about their grass trails. Now, ideally, they'd like it paved, but they're just excited to hear that there'd be some more maintenance and some, you know, some more native prairie planted up there, et cetera. And there is an increased labor proportion of the trails, maintaining trails. So maybe that goes to a half-time position until they show us that they are paying somebody full-time, you know, that they're having to add it in as extra, or somebody's getting overtime.
And I would recommend, before possibly making any decision on that, that you give Mike the opportunity to come and
sure,
make
and
that discussion.
Absolutely.
Half-time, very difficult to recruit and fill.
Yeah. Well, okay.
So
yeah,
I would caution on a half-time. It just
especially
historically
the workforce that we have now.
And in that type of position, it is extremely difficult to get a half-time.
The other option, I think, would be do we look at these positions, these two positions, and say mid-fiscal year, look at hiring. Mm-hmm. Instead of a full fiscal year. We used to do that all the time with the case management position.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to realize it's going to, you have to project it 12 months the next year,
right?
So it's not like you're doing a half-time position and then a half-time position the next year.
Exactly.
You're committing.
Yeah.
You're committing to double the money the next year.
Right.
Rick,
I believe we need both positions. I think we had the conversations out there at the board table where this is the most appropriate to have these conversations. And
okay.
I think where we were then is where we should be now.
All right.
Okay, so
they're $140,000 together.
If I take
out of the 297.
I add that, if I add back to the 42,040, the 51,000 that I took out, or
So you're on three.
I'm on one.
He's on one.
You're on one, okay.
So you did not remove the 1% from those expenses.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
It is on one.
So I'm just trying to do the across the board.
We're continuing.
So if I add that back, that brings us to expenses of $42,091,362. Then I subtract out the $35,000 that we are pretty sure we're going to take out. It's $42,056,362, your balance.
Now,
you don't even have to go back to the 1%.
I'm hearing two things, and I'm sorry to do this, but it's like, what are we taking the $51,000 out of? Are we taking it out of the cuts, or are we taking it out of the expenses?
Out of the expenses.
Good.
So you can get it to balance without that $51,000.
No.
If I add that $51,000 back in to this number down here, subtract $35,000.
So you wouldn't need to take that 1% across the board to
get
the balance.
Oh, you need the $35,000.
Do you need the $35,000
for
enough to get us the balance?
Or get us there, because we're only out 16. Because we're only out 16 on the 1.
Yeah, with a 20% levy increase in the rural.
With a 20% levy increase in the rural.
Right, with the 10 and the 10.
And the $51,000 doesn't do hardly anything, I suppose, to get the rural down.
That's nothing. That's not in rural. That's in general.
Yeah. It's in general.
But don't forget now, everybody in the rural pays countywide. So when you impact countywide, if you can reduce the 10 cents in countywide, you're also hitting everybody in the rural. They pay both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And as you advised us before, is that we can publish high and then decide to vote lower if on the 12th. Okay. So I hear a consensus there with direction then to Lisa Markley to go ahead and use the $30,000 to $5,000 on option one, and then the $51,060 will be put back in, so they're at 100% of operating. That is where we ended up, correct?
95% salaries, 100%.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not where I ended up, but that might
that's
be where
we
ended up.
Okay, got it. So you'd like to take the 51 out now.
I still want the 50. I'm calling it 50,000.
You know, I would support
if we're raising taxes on everybody in Story County, which we are on this budget, it is reasonable to me that we would ask every elected official and every department head to go find roughly 1% out of operations. I don't believe it's that big a lift, and it's the right thing to do.
Okay.
Right.
But I don't know that that's our consensus.
That.
Are we voting? Or are we? No, I think the 51,000 in operating is not unreasonable to say.
Okay, cool. All right. Then,
that's what I've been saying all along.
Right. Then we ended up with that coming out of the expenses, and so running this. See again. We've got 35 and the 51, 10. Okay, so that's going to be, whoops, I did that backwards. That's 96. Okay. So 86, yeah. So we have an $86,000 reduction in expenses. Mm-hmm. No changes in revenue. $86,000 in reduction, and that is now 42,004. Oh, I don't know if when they have, or at least if you have it over.
Well, the 42,040 included the 51,000. So if working
so
off of that,
35.
It's the 35 and the 5, but the 5's not fully. True, because it should be about 1,300 from us, and
we're
taking
five,
so it's really 3,700, not 5,000.
I got you. Good.
And so I would encourage us not to try to get down to the penny. I believe we're looking at 35,000 in overtime out of the sheriff's budget. 30,000 out of the overtime in the sheriff's budget. We're looking at 5,000 out of the Board of Supervisors operational expenses somewhere, and we're looking at roughly $50,000 from everybody else, just to be divided on a percentage basis, round numbers. So I'm not saying to require, I keep using Stacy because she's here, but I'm not saying to her, hey, we need $1,012.34.
Right.
We're saying we need $1,000.
Right.
So that takes us to $85,000 that we're cutting out of operating,
roughly. Well, I come up with,
50 and 5 and 30.
Because we need another 1% out of it.
But the 50 is already out of option one.
Correct.
So you don't count it twice.
So what I come up with then, looking at it the other way, we had 16,000 to the surplus before you add in the 35,000, and we should be at about 51,000. I mean,
roughly 50,000.
Roughly 50,000.
Yeah. If I might, if I could ask something else.
Sure.
When we know what the insurance is going to cost, I would like us to consider, if there's savings there that's considerable, I would like that to be considered in terms of whether we can lower that levy rate somewhat.
Mm-hmm. The supplemental levy.
Yes. I think it has to be the supplemental because we're all so old. Would that be what you'd think, Lisa?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if anything else comes up, to try to lower the supplemental.
Maybe some options. Transfer more money out of the gym, that'll lower the supplemental substantially.
Mm-hmm. Are you suggesting it?
No, I'm just saying I gave you that option.
That's good. Option. So what's our process now? What's our timeline? When are we going to revisit one more time when we have the insurance?
What's the publication date?
Come to the board. 22nd? What's the publication date?
Yeah.
When is the publication date?
February 28th. Newspapers published hearing.
Oh, so notice it to the
21st. You have to send it.
I have to send it. We have a staff meeting.
The 19th.
19th. When I'm going to hand them back. So I will come to the board before that and say this is what it's going to look like.
I should have a
notice
of
the public. This is what the notice is going to look like.
And then,
We can meet again, certainly, if you want to.
Let's send it. It's always easier to cancel a meeting. Set it, then cancel it if you don't need it, then to try to
what
find one.
What would we need it for? Only if the insurance is higher would we need it. If the insurance is lower, then Lisa's doing a recalculation to see how it impacts the levy rate, correct?
Okay, then would we need to talk about that, or can we just say whatever it is, we'll take it? We can say that now. Whatever it is, if you can get it down.
We can't say
we
that.
We can't
now.
Do that.
See, that's why I'm saying we need another meeting.
No, we've got a meeting on March 12th.
Yeah.
We can do all of that on March
12th. So you can publish the higher, you can lower it.
Yep. Yeah, which is what I said earlier. So we publish higher, but then we could lower right there at March 12th. You're looking for the published lower is what you want, right, Linda?
If we could.
I don't know.
That's not feasible.
Well, it's always feasible. It's like, could we peg it on to the end of the Tuesday the 19th meeting, which is going to be long anyway. You know, I mean, that would be the only place, if we have it by the 19th. But it is entirely possible we could go to publication with Lisa starting, having to start out there, and us not knowing about the insurance. We may not know.
They give them out 60 to 90 days before plan year start.
Right.
I'm asking for a lot earlier renewal.
Yeah.
So because of our budgeting. So I mean, we're asking for a renewal rate in February when our plan doesn't start till July.
Right.
So it's almost 5 months ahead.
Yeah.
So that's
setting another meeting just for that might not even that meeting come to fruition anyway. I have a process question now. So with us just saying that we're going to ask each department to take off so much more off of the budget, you know, Lisa's going to do the rough calculations to round out. Who sends that memo out? Is that me? Is that you, Lisa? Is that, you know, to let the departments know that they'll be asked to cut some more,
It's been the board chair in the past.
That's
doesn't
fine.
Mean it has to be.
I'll do that. I'm just asking.
I believe that's how it's been handled in the past. But
that's fine. Then I'll do that. Get together with Lisa and do that.
Yeah, because if you tell people a percentage, you're going to say, well, what's that in terms of dollars? So you might as well
just give them a
dollar.
Yeah, right. That's
time.
Fine.
And
then a
those.
Deadline. For them to get back.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
And what we're... Okay. Just to labor it. What is the message? Is the message, gee, pretty please, or is it, please tell us where you would take this money?
this, well, this that's what
you
need to tell us
where.
Yeah,
right.
Take it.
Right. And tell Lisa where it's coming from, correct?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I heard you're not asking if they can.
Right. I'm saying we are going to have to have you cut your budget by X number of dollars.
And by a certain date, then we need to know where you want it out of.
Correct. And that would send that to Lisa.
Okay.
All right. We're good. Anything else? We're adjourned. All right.
Where I can take it from.
Thank you.
I'll wait for your dollar figure.
All right.
But I've marked like five spots full.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to.
All right. Lisa just left.